Welcome back to The Truth About the Market, where we cut through the noise and talk about what's really happening in aviation. Not the hype, not the headlines, but the truth. I'm your host, Jason Zilberbrand, and I'm president of VREF. I've appraised nearly every kind of aircraft for clients, ranging from the FAA to private owners. I've also operated, bought, and sold my own aircraft, so I bring real hands-on experience, not just theory. And just as important, this podcast is sponsor-free, with no advertisers or companies to appease, no incentive to soften the truth. What you hear is unfiltered because aviation demands truth and the market punishes misinformation. And today we're going to talk about the Iran war, fuel shocks, and the quiet freeze in aviation. So let's get to it. The aviation market doesn't break all at once anymore. It slows down in layers because liquidity fades and decisions get delayed. And then one day everyone realizes the market's already changed. And that's where we're at right now. The catalyst is obvious. Escalation involving Iran, an immediate shock to global energy markets. Oil has pushed back above $100, and jet fuel, already one of the most volatile inputs in aviation, has moved sharply in a matter of days. At the same time, portions of the Middle East airspace are tightening, forcing longer routings, higher burn, and operational uncertainty. But we've seen versions of this before, folks. In 2008, oil spiked to nearly $150 a barrel, and business aviation didn't collapse overnight. Transaction volume froze first. Pricing followed months later. In 22, fuel surged again, and charter demand initially spiked before compressing under that cost pressure. This is how aviation reacts to these shocks, not instantly, but structurally. And what makes this moment different is that fuel is only part of the story. There is a second force building underneath the surface, one that directly impacts liquidity, financing, and the ability to close deals. So let's talk about what just happened. Let's start with the facts, not the headlines, not the narratives, but just pure facts. Since the escalation with Iran, Brent crude has pushed back over $100 a barrel. I think today it was about $108. Jet fuel has moved sharply higher, outpassing crude in many regions due to refining constraints. U.S. gasoline prices are rising again, feeding broader inflation pressure. And most critically, risk around the Strait of Hormuz has re-entered the market. That corridor handles roughly one-fifth of the global oil supply. It doesn't need to fully shut down to matter. Even partial disruption, like what we've been seeing, or the threat of it, forces rerouting, increases insurance costs, and injects immediate volatility into energy pricing. And that's what we're seeing, and we've seen this movie before. In 2019, attacks on Saudi infrastructure caused a sudden spike in oil, but more importantly, created short-term dislocation of pricing and supply expectations. And again, in 1990, during the Gulf War, oil doubled in a matter of months, and aviation demand didn't collapse. Well, not immediately, but uncertainty did freeze forward planning. And that's the key. This isn't just about higher fuel. It's about unstable fuel, because volatility changes behavior faster than the price alone. And aviation is one of the most fuel-sensitive industries in the global economy. This is not a slow move. This is a shock. So let's talk about why this hits aviation harder than people think. It's because fuel is not just another cost input for us. It is the cost input. For airlines, fuel typically represents 20 to 30% of its operating expense. But in business aviation and general aviation, the impact is even more direct, and it's far less protected. Most operators, they don't get to hedge fuel. They can't efficiently pass through cost increases, and they don't have scale to absorb the volatility. Over the last 2 weeks alone, we've seen meaningful moves. Jet A has increased roughly 15 to 25% depending on where you live. 100 low-lev avgas has moved from 40 to 70% higher, depending on the FBOs, not 40 to 70%, 40 to 70 cents per gallon higher at many of the US FBOs. And that's rapid cost shock. That's not gradual adjustment. Think about it. For a mid-sized jet flying 300 hours a year, that's tens of thousands of dollars in incremental annual cost overnight. It didn't just happen gradually. It literally happened immediately. Business aviation and charter are going to be impacted as well. And charter's going to feel it first. Initially, yeah, the demand's going to hold. It happened at a really interesting time. Spring break is this week and next week. So even as the cost is rising and airlines are becoming more or less reliable, their pricing is going to reset. Tier one operators, they can manage this. Tier two and tier three operators, there is no chance they can. They operate on thinner margins. They buy fuel at retail or near retail, and they have less contractual stability, so they raise rates. and the market's going to push back. The signal, airlines are ready. They're raising fares, they're cutting marginal routes, they're adjusting capacity, and historically, that leads business aviation by 30 to 60 days. We saw it in 08, we saw it in 22. First comes a demand spike, then comes the compression, and that transition is starting now. This episode is powered by VREF, the trusted name in aircraft valuations and appraisals. Whether you fly a single-engine aircraft or manage a business jet fleet, VREF keeps you grounded in data that matters. So visit VREF.com to know what your aircraft is truly worth before you buy, sell, finance, or insure. So let's talk about what nobody's talking about, and that's the European Central Bank shock, because there's a second shock building in the market, and almost no one in aviation is talking about it yet. And the European Central Bank, and more broadly, the global rate policy is what I'm talking about. While fuel is rising due to geopolitical risk, central banks are dealing with something else entirely: inflation pressure, what they thought was under control, because energy feeds directly into CPI. When oil spikes, inflation expectations rise, and central banks, whether it's the ECB or the Fed, they don't respond to conflict. They respond to inflation persistence. That's the problem. We just heard from the Fed yesterday. I'm taping this on the 19th. If you heard what they said on the 18th, then you're well aware that they are planning on doing nothing right now because of inflation. So let's talk about what this means. If energy prices remain elevated, headline inflation reaccelerates, rate cuts get delayed, or they're not going to happen at all, and policy stays restrictive longer than markets have expected. We've already seen this dynamic. In 2022, energy-driven inflation forced aggressive rate hikes globally. The result wasn't an immediate asset price collapse. It was liquidity contraction. Deals slowed, financing tightened, and the risk tolerance dropped. Now, layer that on top of today's fuel shock. You don't have rising operating costs. You have rising costs of capital at the same time. That combination is where markets seize up. You got to think about it. So, why is aviation especially exposed? Because aircraft are not cash purchases. They're financed assets with forward-looking assumptions. And every deal relies on debt structure, interest rate assumptions, and residual value confidence. When rates stay higher, monthly payments go up, lender coverage ratios tighten, and equity requirements rise. And more importantly, the marginal buyer completely disappears. We saw this in late 22 into 23. We've seen it a bunch of times over the years. Transaction velocity slowed, not because demand vanished, but because deals stopped penciling. So let's talk about the underwriting effect, because this is where it shows up first, not in pricing or approvals of deals. Deals that would have cleared 60 days ago now face additional conditions, lower advance rates, probably higher interest rates at all, or outright rejection. That's how markets tighten. They do it quietly. And this is a timing problem, because if this fuel shock occurred in a zero rate environment like it did in 2020 or 2021, then the market could absolutely absorb it. Cheap money offsets high operating costs. I talk about it on this podcast all the time. But that's not the environment we're in today. We're already in a constrained capital cycle. So instead of a single external shock, you now have stack pressure. Fuel volatility on one side, capital restriction on the other, and aviation, guess where it sits? Directly in the middle of both. All right, I want to shift this a little bit and talk about the piston market, because they always get ignored. Little aircraft don't matter when big things happen, right? And that's just not the case. So let's talk about piston aircraft, because this is where the market looks stable right up until it isn't. Short-term stability. At first, nothing's going to happen. Piston demand doesn't reprice overnight because the buyer isn't purely economic. It's driven by lifestyle and flight training and personal utility. And of course, the big elephant in the room, available financing. We saw this in 22 when Avgas pushed well above $7 a gallon in many regions. The piston market didn't immediately correct. Transactions, they kept on coming and pricing held, at least for some time. So initially, the market appears insulated. But fuel is not just a cost, it's a usage trigger. As 100 low lead has increased roughly 40 to 70 cents per gallon in the past 2 weeks, the behavior starts to change. Discretionary flying declines, training cycles stretch out, aircraft fly fewer hours, and that's where the shift begins. Lower utilization leads to deferred maintenance decisions, less owner engagement, and eventually a change in ownership intent. We've seen this before. We saw it in 08, we saw it again in 2022. The market doesn't break from pricing, it weakens from inactivity. So here's what you can expect. Over the next 60 to 120 days, if things continue the way they are now, entry-level piston transaction volume is going to slow and pricing is going to continue to hold. The mid-tier market, though, you're going to see the time it takes to resell increase dramatically. And at the high-end side, this is where buyers are going to become highly selective. I don't think it's going to be a massive correction. I just think it's going to be a liquidity slowdown driven by reduced usage, not reduced interest. And I think that distinction matters. Okay, now the business jets, because this is where the shift becomes visible first, in my opinion, because it's false stability. At the outset, nothing looks broken. Charter demand holds. As I said, this is a unique time for this war to break out because you got spring break travel and you have the Masters a couple weeks away. But trips will continue as scheduled. I don't think people are going to cancel trips. And a utilization may appear steady, but we saw this exact pattern in 2022. When Jet A surged to $8 a gallon in many markets, demand didn't drop immediately. In fact, I think it briefly went up because the airline disruption keeps pushing traffic into private aviation. Why? Because a lot of those decisions were already made. The trips were already booked. Most operators assumed the shock would be temporary. And then the recalibration begins. CFOs start evaluating cost per trip and flight departments adjust their schedules. And those marginal trips, guess what happens? They get canceled. Because the trips that don't need to happen, don't happen. This is where demand quietly compresses, not from necessity, but from discipline. And that's what you're seeing. Things go quiet. That's not anecdotal. That's how the market transitions. In 2008, and again in 22, transaction pipelines slowed before pricing moved. Activity didn't collapse, it just paused. Deals in progress stretched and new inquiries declined. And I think closings always lag. But aircraft transactions depend on four things: financing, insurance, risk tolerance, and cost visibility. Fuel volatility, guess what it does? It disrupts all four at the same time. And now layer that in rate environment that is no longer just a fuel issue. It's rising operating costs combined with elevated cost of capital. That's when deals don't just slow, they fail underwriting. Look what interest rates have done in the past 3 weeks. They've bounced off their low. Charter doesn't move in a straight line either. And I want to talk about charter market dynamics because I think it reacts in phases. The initial spike at the onset of disruption, airline schedules become unreliable. Again, it's kind of a two-prong attack on the airlines because not only do they get impacted by the TSA and the fact that there's a government shutdown, but they're also being impacted by incredibly high travel times because of the spring break travel. And then you have airspace restrictions. And so what you're seeing is travelers are seeking control and flexibility. And the only way to do that is to shift into charter. We saw it in 2020 during COVID. We saw it in 2022 when commercial reliability declined. Charter demand surged, not because it was cheaper, but because it was dependable. And that's the first move. So let's talk about the repricing. Because, you know, when Jet A is roughly up 15 to 25% in just the past 2 weeks, operators really have no choice. The pricing goes up, rates increase, fuel surcharges expand, hourly rates reset. And this is where the market starts to separate. This is where the pressure starts to build. Because the top tier operators, those fractional and large fleet providers, they have fuel programs, they have contract structures, they have pricing power. They do absorb or smooth the impact. But if you look at tier two and tier three operators, they don't. They typically buy fuel closer to retail. They're operating on thin margins. They compete on price, not access. So when the costs rise, they have to pass it through immediately. And that's when the demand reacts and goes down. And the historical pattern, we saw this in 08, and we saw it again in 22. Initial demand spike, rapid repricing, then demand compression. And you see it especially in the smaller and mid-sized jets. So the net effect, top tier charter, it's going to stay stable. Mid tier, marginally compressed and utilization pressure. And then the smaller operators, it's just going to be real demand destruction. Exactly what you're starting to see now. And this phase tends to accelerate quickly once it begins because many of these operators are now seeing fuel represent 40%, if not more, of the trip cost on short legs, something their pricing models were never built to absorb. Think about it. And this is where transaction volume forecasting gets interesting. And if you look at the ECB dynamic and it becomes visible to you, because aircraft transactions are not only driven by demand alone, they're driven by financeability. So let's talk about what's happening now. Right now, lenders are recalibrating risk in real time. It is slowing down. They are scrutinizing more deals. They're now underwriting against higher operating costs that are driven by fuel, higher interest rates with no clear near-term relief, and an elevated geopolitical uncertainty. We've seen it before. The rate volatility didn't eliminate demand in the prior slowdowns, but it did slow down approvals, and it did reduce leverage, and it did increase real deal friction. And I'm already starting to hear from buyers that are stepping up because deals are blowing up and they're able to buy aircraft at a much lower price. And that's the same setup that we're seeing today. It's going to start happening again. This is the result. Capital won't disappear. It's going to tighten. You're going to see more conditions and credit approvals. You're going to see lower advance rates, and you're going to see increased scrutiny on asset quality and program enrollment for your business jet guys. And critically, more deals are going to fail in the late stages, not because buyers are going to walk away, but because they either don't have the structure that works or they can't get financing. So what can people expect about market behavior? I know that's what everybody's looking for. I know that's what everybody wants my opinion on. I think prices are going to adjust immediately. What happens is transaction volume is going to decline first, and we're already starting to see it. You know, we usually do about 400 plus business jet or VIP transactions. We see that every 30 days, and they're way down. It has been super quiet the past couple of weeks. So we've already seen the transaction volume decline, and then sellers are going to hold expectations, and buyers are going to pause for clarity, and then the market enters a bid-ask standoff. So for the near term, at least the next 30 to 60 days, I think you're going to see a major slowdown in deal flow. You're going to see a major expansion in time on the market, and you're going to see a lot more selective bidding on aircraft. After 90 days, it all depends on what happens, folks. If the conditions persist as they are today, pricing pressure is going to emerge, and it's going to be a substantial issue because older aircraft that aren't on programs and have substantial expenses coming due, and they're going to get parked because no one's going to be able to afford to operate them anymore. Because in every cycle, life cycle cost ultimately drives value. But let's talk about the bigger risk, and that's psychology. Because this isn't just a story about fuel. This is a story about confidence. Aviation markets function on three pillars: liquidity, cost, and confidence. And right now, all three are moving in the wrong direction at the same time. Liquidity's tightening as lenders become more selective. Operating costs are rising quickly with fuel, and confidence, particularly around forward costs and global stability, is becoming uncertain. That combination doesn't produce an immediate correction. It produces hesitation, and we've seen it before. In 08, I'm going to remind you again, oil surged to $150 per barrel, but aircraft values didn't collapse overnight. Transaction activity stalled first. And then again in 22, we saw the exact same thing, and that's where we're at now. So if this conflict is contained and energy markets stabilize, the fuel prices will retrace, the rate pressure is going to ease, and transaction activity is going to normalize. Aviation has historically absorbed short-term shocks when capital remains available and forward costs become predictable again. But if this extends, that's when all things are off. All bets are off. The risk profile is going to change. Because if oil moves into 120 to 150 bucks a barrel, that's going to keep jet fuel super elevated. And at the same time, persistent inflation would likely force the feds to maintain restrictive policy longer than expected. That combination tightens financing, compresses charter demand, and reduces transaction volume. And historically, when volume contracts long enough, the pricing is going to follow. Jet A in key U.S. markets has already moved to over $7 in some locations. And in L.A., I think it was over $8. If you're tired of guessing about aircraft values, try VRF Online, real-time data, quarterly updates, and over 900 models at your fingertips. From residual value forecasts to depreciation trends, it's the platform trusted by every lender, insurance company, and broker worldwide. Subscribe today at VRF.com. Start making decisions based on facts, not feelings. So, what should smart buyers and sellers really do right now? Because this is where discipline matters, not opinions, not narratives, just pure discipline. So for buyers in this environment, the advantage shifts if you're informed. Because if you focus on what actually drives value, total operating costs, not just acquisition price, an aircraft on engine maintenance programs, and assets with predictable forward expense profiles, then I think you're going to understand the fuel exposure and you're going to understand the maintenance risk and not stretching for assets that only work in a low-cost environment. And opportunities aren't going to all appear at once, but they will begin. Trust me, there's going to be motivated, not necessarily distressed, but there's going to be motivated sellers. And those are starting to emerge. And if you are a seller, you have to be aware that the market has shifted. Not dramatically, but directionally. Because the environment from 60 to 90 days ago, when pricing power was stronger and deal velocity was higher, is no longer the same. You cannot look to the end of the fourth quarter in 2025 as evidence of how strong of a market we're in today. Things have changed, folks. And if conditions persist, the buyer pool is going to narrow. The time in the market's going to go up. The negotiations are going to get more contentious. And we've seen this cycle before. And those who wait often end up competing in a thinner, more selective market. And in that market, pricing is no longer aspirational. It's disciplined. So here's my final thought. Here's the part no one wants to say out loud. This isn't one problem. It's a stack of them. Fuel's up. Money's tight. Confidence is low. The feds don't know what they're doing or what they should do. The thing that actually drives transactions is starting to wobble. And the markets can only handle one problem. They struggle with two. But when you stack three or four on top of one another, what you get isn't panic. You get hesitation. And hesitation is what slows everything down because nobody rings a bell and says, the market's changed. It just does. And it does it quietly. Calls don't get returned as fast. Deals take a little longer. Buyers start asking one more question than they did this time last month. And that's how it starts. And we've seen it before, not in headlines, but in behavior, because fuel doesn't just raise the cost of operating an aircraft. It exposes who was operating on assumptions that only worked when everything was easy. Cheap fuel, cheap money, unlimited confidence. Guess what, folks? That environment's gone. And what replaces it isn't a crash. It's a reset. Where the best assets still trade, the disciplined players stay active, and everything else has to adjust. This is no longer a momentum market. It's a market that rewards precision. And those are very different games. If you're evaluating an aircraft transaction right now, keep it simple. Because fuel impacts cost, rates impact structure, but confidence determines what deals actually close. And right now, confidence isn't gone, but it's being questioned. That's when disciplined decisions matter most. We've seen cycles like this before. We're going to see them again. The outcome isn't driven by the headlines. It's driven by how well you understand what's actually changing beneath the surface. Use this as an opportunity to learn. Because the people who understand that shift early are the ones who don't just survive this market, they're going to capitalize on it. If you found this episode helpful, I'd really appreciate it if you share it with someone who's considering an aircraft purchase or evaluating an aircraft transaction. This podcast exists for one reason: to analyze aircraft as capital assets, without a brokerage spin, and without a manufacturer narrative. And remember, when you need accurate, defensible, and data-driven aircraft values, there's only one name in the industry to trust, and that's VREF. Visit VREF.com to get started today. I want to thank you for listening. I'm Jason Zolberbrand. This is The Truth About the Market. Until next time, fly safe and stay smart.